Skype of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign, Eternal Lies, by Will Hindmarch and Jeff Tidball, with Jeremy Keller.
Two, you were typing up above when I was typing down below, Edwin. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I noticed that also.
Yeah, when it was done, I was like, oh, let me look back. Oh, no, same thing. So I tried to smash them together. I hope I didn't repeat too much or whatever.
Well, for me, at least while I'm writing them, it's mostly that once I write them, I then remember it and I don't have to worry about actually reading them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me if you smash them together. Yeah. So I would love to hear the asylum summary, though.
I think there's only one person who really should do the asylum summary, and that was Matt and Dr. Udko.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Sure.
I know exactly what happened there.
Unintentional.
Are we at that point of summarizing? Are we still waiting?
No, let's go ahead and start.
Okay. So let's see. We were shown into down the hallway after seeing this weird vision on the walls that quickly went away. We were shown down the hallway into two different rooms. I believe the father was shown into Job's room. Sorry, I probably shouldn't do this. Someone who remembers it better.
Okay, sure. Jim gave a bang up confession to or took Job's confession pretty much. He pretty much told him everything that happened. So Job apparently was in a cult out there in LA looking to be in. He was in it for the parties and the sex and the sex and the sex. And they were out having a celebration one night. According to him, he never really said what the celebration was, when people came in and started shooting shotguns.
It was a summoning.
A summoning, yes, yes. I thought he referred
summoning
to
party, like
yeah.
You.
And apparently a successful summoning.
Yes, right. Yes. So,
did I just get next, or are you guys, is that?
I hear you, Edwin.
I hear you.
Oh, okay, good, okay. I just stopped hearing the summary in the middle.
Nope. I'm not sure if Steve just stopped, or just gave up.
Like me, he couldn't remember.
Exactly. Failed his sand roll and...
How about Jim tell us what his character heard?
How am I supposed to know that? I don't know. Okay, so I will. Okay, so third attempt at the summary. Okay, so we were at the asylum. Father Minardus went to talk to Edgar Job, who is the other person in the asylum, who we learned has some sort of occult connection. Dr. Udko and whoever else is with us, Ms. Astor, went to talk with Henslow. So from Job, the father found out that, yes, as Steve mentioned,
We have some heavy typing somewhere.
So from Job, we learned that he and Henslow were in a cult in Los Angeles, some kind of sex and drugs and rock and roll. You know how these things go. And they were indeed, there was some person who was leading the cult, Echevarria. We don't know who that is or anything about that person, but that was who was leading the cult, something about some old pagan god. Golgoroth, the fisher from outside, they were attempting to summon either Golgoroth or some other demon, were successful to some level that we don't really understand, at which point Henslow and some other people broke in to on the side of righteousness, apparently, shot up the cult, killed some people, and just blew everything to hell. But apparently the creature that they summoned is still out there, probably working in the film industry. As far as we know, that's my assumption at the moment. Then the others talking to Henslow effectively got the other side of that same story, that he and the person that we are trying to find, whose name is very important, but I can never, Mr. Rogers, were in Los Angeles trying to hunt down a demon cult, and eventually went to save the world. So basically they were a team of investigators running some other scenario at the conclusion of their scenario, they broke in and shot up the cult and killed most of the cult members. Obviously not all of them, nor did they apparently get the demon. So basically just like any Call of Cthulhu scenario we've ever played. And so that's what happened at the asylum. Then probably someone who was at the estate is better suited to catch us up on your rainstorm.
It is likely.
We should probably mention that the father was able to make off with the two. He snuck into an office, was able to make off with the two files for Edgar Job and Henslow as well, and he's looking at the car.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Steve.
At the estate, is this our third session or our second session?
This is our fourth session.
Fourth session. Okay, so we were chatting with a mama. And having a grand old time when she suggested we go look at her son's artwork, Henslow's art in his study. So a couple of us went off to the study while Cora continued to talk with Mama Henslow. And in the study, we found all kinds of things that were not art. And I think most importantly, we found a series of clues which eventually led us to dig up a metal box that was buried in the backyard. We also found a book called Communion Rites of Victorian Death Cults, which may have just been hiding a photo, but may be intrinsically interesting. We don't know. While Cora was speaking with Mama Henslow, Mama Henslow got very scared and was looking at some door, and she was especially scared, it seemed like, when she first heard the thunder. So we went up to the room and found all these things, and then we got Cora and went out to the backyard and dug up the box. So the three of us had just dug up the box. Cora went inside to say goodbye, and she was about to come out, and we were going to head home with the box hidden away when we hear a scream from upstairs.
Sounds good. Sounds where we stop. So thank you. Let's actually get started with the guys of the Henslow mansion.
So do all three of us hear the scream, or just Cora, who's inside?
Apparently, just you were heading towards the car.
Yeah, we were headed around the house towards the car.
Yes. Make both of you make a listen roll.
Okay. Can I spend luck to fail the roll if that is a success?
Okay.
And is are we all Max, you're all right, Max is here but muted.
Oh, oops.
Yes. I am. Still muted.
No, you're not.
Listen roll. My listen roll is 22. Hard success.
Okay. Yeah, you both hear the scream.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got a hard success also. So yeah, I don't think I can resist a scream. That seems unlikely.
Yeah, in good conscience, a cop and a detective, or investigator.
Exactly.
Sorry.
So how close to the car are we? Can I make a luck roll on that?
No need. Do you want it to be closer or farther away?
I would love to be close. I would love to be close to the car.
Yeah, we can say like you were kind of 50 meters away from the car, maybe.
Okay, so in that case, let's dump the box and go in. Something's going on.
Yeah. All right.
So whoever of us has the box will dump it in the car, and the other of us will be sprinting a little bit ahead of the number two person towards the house.
Sounds good. After this, Cora, you see that John is actually, he starts rushing towards the room upstairs where Mama Hensel was. He opens the door, and he says, "Mama!" And he rushes into the room.
Yeah, so I've followed him, but I'm not rushing. I'm staying near him and keeping him in sight. But so we're at the back door talking. We have to run to the front, I think, and get on the stairs to go up.
Yeah, you know, on the way upstairs, you kind of hear John's scream, kind of a... And then starts saying, Mama, my hands.
All right. So whenever I get to the top of the stairs to her room, I've reached into my purse. I've not pulled out the item in my purse quite yet, but I'm going to sort of follow him in.
Okay. Yeah, you make, actually, as soon as you enter the room, she's kind of lying in bed. He's on top of her, kind of, you can tell that he's trying to see if she's still breathing. So he's kind of covering your view of Mama Henslow.
Do I see anything else in the room?
Specifically,
the table I put in front of the door before we left, has it been moved?
Very good. That one has been dropped to the floor. The door of the closet is now open.
I will, moving around the bed, try to look into the closet without stepping in front of the closet.
Okay. Make a listen roll.
Nope.
Okay. Spot hidden roll.
Noper.
Okay, good. You don't see anything from there. In the meantime, you see that the detective is already at the entrance of the room.
Detective, thank God you're here. The his mother may be hurt. I don't know.
Detective Sullivan.
Oh, sorry. What's happening? What's happened here?
I don't know.
I will run up to Mama Henslow's to the bedside.
Okay. You see that she has a distorted face. It's kind of like she's not breathing. Her eyes are wide open. And her mouth is kind of completely open. And in a horrified kind of, you know, as if she died, you know, screaming.
A rictus, a rictus of horror.
Rictus, yeah. So I will, at this point, realize I forgot to give Sullivan any first aid. But nonetheless, I feel that a cop would attempt some form of something. I don't know when CPR came about. I feel like it was later than this. But I think that is what is on the docket here. So I'm going to see if I can first aid her back to life.
Okay.
Not with a 97.
Yeah. Well, she's dead, pretty much dead. And you see that Jung starts kind of crying a little bit, but you know, just more like sobbing.
So,
what happened? Well, she was okay. Just when I. It was the door of the room. Oh, your boy, now Douglas, he's not going to take this lightly. He was doing so well the last time we saw him at the hospital. It's going to set him back. Cora, what are you doing again?
Well, I'm still watching that doorway, I guess, to see if anything comes out.
Nothing comes out.
I mean, did we look into it before? I cannot remember.
No.
No? No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. You just put it there.
Just put the table in front.
So. All right, fine. I will move close to the door and kick it open with my hand in my purse.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Like,
yeah. Elliot must be up here by now.
You open it, and something in the back of the closet is kind of maybe wet, a little bit wet, like maybe some, I don't know. Something spilled there because you can see it, that it is kind of falling on the back of the closet. Kind of small drops, some sort of liquid. But
is it a shape, or just does it look like someone knocked over their glass of water? I mean,
you cannot tell at this point, right, from where you're standing, because there are some clothes. But you can tell that it's like someone spilled some sort of liquid on the back of the closet, and it is dripping. Yeah.
Detective, seems to be something back there. I'm not sure what that is.
I will pull out a flashlight and go in and look.
Okay. you move the clothes around, and at that point, Detective Elliot, you're coming back, and you're coming up the stairs into the house. If I'm not mistaken, that's what you wanted to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, the two of you, the two in front of the closet. As soon as you start moving clothes around, you're pretty sure that you see a smiling mouth in the back of the closet. And it is kind of rolling. It's like laughing. With, you know, kind of broken teeth. And make a sanity check.
How big a mouth is this? Ooh. And is there anything, like, is it a head or a body or just a mouth?
If you
and
put
I'll
your...
I tell you that I failed my sand roll, and you can tell me what I see.
Sure. Cora?
I also failed my role, so you can tell me what I see.
I succeeded.
You're just heading towards there, and you see in, you see both of them kind of jumping backwards from the closet, and make one d4. I'm sorry, 1d6. First time.
That's a 4.
Okay. Cora?
That's a 3.
Okay. Yeah, you get, you know, if you put your fingers together, like your index finger and your thumb together, kind of giving the okay sign, that is the size of the mouth. It's very small. It's very, very small.
And there's no head. Or?
There's no head, just the mouth. And as soon as you guys look at it and you hear this kind of, you know, you hear like chuckling or laughing at you, it kind of dissipates in the liquid that is dropping on the back of the closet.
So I will run in and sort of try to dig down into, or, you know, brush the liquid or rip clothes aside or whatever it is to try to sort of get into this. What was there?
What are you doing? Okay, you kind of move the clothes around, and you now see only kind of a wet spot on the back where the mouth was. And, you know, just the kind of liquid, like as if it had melted. Let's put it that way. As if it had melted.
I'm going to put my finger in it. Is it water, watery?
No, it's more like it's a sticky substance.
What is this? I don't know. Did you see that face in there?
There was something just horrible back there. I don't know what that was.
John, are there any animals living in here in the closet? Do you keep an animal in the closet?
What? Animals? No, no. No.
There's something, some small, I mean, is there like a hole? There's no hole in the, so I spent a little time looking for, you know, where the rodent went away, you know, went into the floor or something, and I don't find it, obviously, because that would happen.
Hold on. we're getting a lot of background noise again, I guess. Let's see, one can mute. Say again, can you repeat your question, Ellie?
Yes. So I sort of look for the, you know, the hole in the wall or the floor where the rodent disappeared to.
Okay.
Spent a little time doing that, but yeah.
There's nothing like that. Like you can see that it's like it was sitting on the back of the closet, right? There's no hole or anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't think there would be, as Edwin just as. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you ladies see?
There was it looked like a little mouth. I don't know, just laughing, just standing, floating there, laughing, and then it disappeared into this goo. Some sort of, I don't even know what this liquid is. It's some kind of, it's not blood. It's something.
I'll check it out.
Sticky.
Is there anything I can possibly glean from the substance?
No, like, you know, it's kind of a sticky, you know, you kind of touch it and it sticks in your fingers, and you open your fingers and you can see as, you know, certain elasticity as it kind of stays on both fingers.
Is it clear?
Not 100% clear. No, it has kind of a maybe a bluish color.
Okay,
bluish.
And sort so it's molasses, dripping. It's is it seeping out of the wall or is it dripping from the ceiling of the closet?
Just like it was just on the back. Let's say in the middle. It's not coming from the corner or anything like that.
Right. So it's seeping through the back wall of the.
Yes.
Of the closet. What's on the other side of this closet, John?
Nothing. And he's now approaching you and seeing the liquid. That's very unusual. Maybe. And he looks up.
That's
He looks around.
Get a contractor out to see that.
Oh, well, right now I'm more worried about Mama Hansel. If you don't mind, gentlemen, ladies, I need to take care of this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is what was making her not feel well.
Well, it made her scared.
He reconsiders that for a moment, and let's move it around.
So is this an exterior wall, or would there be a room behind this wall?
Exterior wall.
Okay. I mean, whatever this is, I mean, I guess we haven't even heard from Cora yet that she was worried about it ahead of time. So,
never mind. You would have seen me. You guys came. Oh, no, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have seen me move the table. So,
right.
Oh, well, Mama seemed worried about something in it, but I just thought she was just hearing noises. I couldn't imagine.
Please. Something so she like, expected
that would be in there.
Expected this or something?
I don't know. Expected she something? Seemed nervous. She kept looking around. She looked at the closet a couple times, but she looked at other places too. It's all very.
Oh.
Very confusing.
Huh.
Hmm. Strange.
But you think that wall there is heads outside, so something came from the outside. I wonder if there's a window at the hallway. You could go and try to look and see if there's something on the wall, on the outside. Something maybe dripping down from the outside in.
Well, there was a creature, though, or something.
You spend some time, you know, going around. You move the closet out from that wall. Now it's pretty heavy, but you kind of manage. You know, it's one of those
wardrobes. It's a wardrobe then.
Wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a closet.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, wardrobe. You kind of move around.
Well, then, move
out of the way. Oh, I was picturing us inside another room, but this is a piece of furniture.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, no, that's cool.
So when we move the wardrobe, is there anything on the back side of it?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Not any of the, there's no sign of the residue.
No. It's just on the inside of the wardrobe. Plus.
Well, we should get a glass and try to save some of this and give it to the doctor. He'll know what to do with it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll go get something from the kitchen.
Okay. In the meantime, you know, after that, you can see that John kind of covers Mama Henslow's body, and you know, and grabs the phone and starts making a few calls, you know, calling the doctor, maybe the lawyer.
Right.
You overhear some conversation, and after a while he comes back. You kind of capture the substance.
If I notice him heading for the phone, can I kind of try and eavesdrop on him?
Yeah, that's what you're doing. But he's calling the doctor to come and check over the body, and he's calling a lawyer. And you kind of overhear him saying, yes, I understand, yes. Yes, but it's your responsibility as well. Okay. Then hangs up. You kind of managed to capture a little bit of the substance in now. What are you using? From the kitchen, you grab...
like a mason jar or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little bit. No, but you got it there. What are you doing? John tells you, like, I need to go to the, you know, I will wait for the doctor and then go to the hospital and speak with Douglas.
Would you like us to stay with you until the doctor gets here, or would you prefer to be alone?
Yeah, well, I mean,
there's no need. You have been very kind applying your medical skills. I didn't know what to do, but it seems like there wasn't a lot we could do for Mama. So it's okay. You. I guess you would like to go and talk to Douglas at some point, because he's not going to take this very well. Let us
know if we can do anything. We're staying at the blah 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 hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
In his shock, he kind of grabs a notepad and writes down the name of the hotel and your names. Oh, I know.
So very sorry for your loss, John.
No, that's okay. It was going to happen eventually. It happens to all of us.
How old was Mama, if you don't mind me asking?
Let me check, because if I'm not mistaken, I do know.
Just put and misplaced the location of the knowing.
Yeah. She's on her late 80s.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds like she had a long life.
Yeah, happy. You know, filled with sorrow, like all of our lives.
Yeah. Well, you take care, John.
Very well.
Thank you, John.
He looks sad, very sad, and he walks you towards the door and stays there until you reach the car. What do you do once in the car?
We leave. I will drive us back to the hotel.
Okay. Are you going to check the contents of the box yet, or
not till we get back to the hotel?
Sounds good. All right, let's get back to the others. You're heading under the heavy rain and thunder, moving away from the Henslow Mansion. As you kind of start moving away, you can see that the level of water is starting to come up around the mansion, and you can see as you drive away that it may turn into an island, you know, if it keeps raining like this in a short time. And then you head back to the hotel. So let's get back to the others who are just leaving the hospital. Right, and Father, you were going over the notes that you found on the office lying around.
That the doctor was kind enough to lend me. Yes,
yes,
I am indeed.
Okay, so a few things. So I said you know there's some medication notes. You were sharing this information with
Udko and Aster.
Yeah, I remember he was talking to Aster, but I don't recall if who's driving. By the way, you know, it's got to be you, Udko.
Sure.
I guess.
I think Udko was driving, and Aster. She had been wounded, so she was kind of sitting there trying to make small talk with the father, and he was in his studies.
Okay, yeah. So there's some medication notes you guys don't understand, but the other thing I mentioned before is that they Keaton was kind of putting them on something he called confrontation therapy, and they will get on the same room together, seemingly by chance, and allowing them to interact. And he will take notes. And there are a lot of notes about the different confrontations they had in the past. Most of them kind of go over what you already spoke with them, you know, monsters, and you tried to kill me. But if you... It was your fault that the monster was released into the world. Notes like that. Seems like, you know, the confrontation usually will lead to anger. And a strong desire from both of them to finish the encounter. Let's see. Also, go ahead.
And we had interpreted that he was using us as part of the therapy.
Right. You heard that, especially you, Dr. Utko.
Well, it seems my approach was correct then.
The other thing you do notice is that Ethan is planning on writing a book on Hansel and Job. A book on their delusions and shared psychosis. So how he's calling it. Then Ketum will write on one of the notes saying maybe just a chapter, highlighting kind of the last encounter they had.
Well, Father, it's very strange that he would give you these notes if he was planning to use them to write his book.
Not so strange, Doctor. I did promise that I will post them back to him later today. I just needed to borrow them briefly. Are you familiar with any of these medications?
Yeah, you can make a medicine roll.
Medicine roll. No, those are very strange medications that I've never heard of before, even though I have. Yes.
Maybe he's experimenting.
He must be. His therapy is new to me as well.
Does he make mention of that book that Henslow wrote to Winston about?
No mention at all. Now, the other mention you find is that, more notes from Keaton saying that maybe this is going to be his glimpse of madness. And you can make a no roll, Dorothy, Astor.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. A no roll. Let me see. Yes. 54 is a normal success.
Okay. Yeah, you have heard of that book. It's some sort of sensationalistic ethnography of a sanitarium in California. So,
but there's a book that mentions or that he mentions.
Yeah, he mentions that probably, if he manages to publish his book, that's going to become his Glimpse of Madness. And you recognize the title of the book as that.
Oh, Glimpse of Madness is the title of the book. Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. And also there's a note about Edgar Job. He pretty much sent, Dr. Keaton sent a note to the state of California in 1931. Petitioning to keep Edgar Job in treatment in Savannah at the hospital expense that Joy Ugrop's expense, rather than to transport him back to prison in California because he was still wanted, as you recall.
Yep.
And then, browsing through his files, you find another one that says, in the state of California agrees to live there for as long as Joy Grove can afford to keep it. But you are pretty sure that with those the cost that is also attached to the document. This is all you guys reviewing it on the way back to where you're going. I just forgot that I don't know. Where are you going?
The hotel.
Towards the hotel? Okay. So, yeah, on the way back to the hotel, you also find that the hospital can no longer afford to keep job. So they started to use some of Henslow's money to pay for Job's treatment. Apparently, you keep reading on the notes. And do any of you two have accounting? Make a roll? Or library use, a good roll of library use.
Okay. I'll give the library use a shot.
Just a normal success.
A normal success as well.
Okay. There are some accounting notes as well attached to the files, but you cannot make sense. But you only see receipts from Henslow's lawyer making the payments. No longer anything for Edgar Job. And that's it. You head back to the hotel.
Hey, Dorothy, I don't know how much of that are you just reading these notes out, or if you... Since I'm driving, I don't know how much of what you just told us we know, all of us know, or is that something that just she read in the notes?
Well, it was a father, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It all depends on what Father Mandarius tells us.
Yeah, I would have been I would have shared.
Should we stop by a bookseller and pick up a copy of this book, perhaps?
I think that might be a good idea.
You know, this cult was supposedly in the LA area.
You guys can do that if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. You can still buy an old library, like library that sells old books, and you can get it to read it, you know, afterwards. All right. So you head back to the hotel. Anything else you guys want to do before joining the others?
I can't think of anything.
When we get to the hotel, I will ask them for an envelope and some postage and post the case notes back to the doctor at the asylum, along with a note thanking him on behalf of the Catholic Church and the Holy See for his help.
Okay. Sounds good. Very well. So you guys run into the others at some point, or coming back from Henslow Mansion?
You look wet. Has it been raining?
Well, the others are very quiet.
Yes. Well, I'm surprised the weather didn't affect you out here.
Yeah.
Yes, we've been at the mansion. There's quite a lot of information we need to share with you all. We should try to find a private space to have the conversation, though.
Yeah.
Perhaps over dinner.
Nah, I think perhaps in one of our rooms or something.
Yes.
We have a mysterious box.
Oh, dang, we should have opened it before we met the others. Because if it's some poisonous gas or trap or something, we're all dead.
Pretty sure we all have 30 luck. We'll be fine.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah, true.
Well, let's go up to the room and
check it out.
Yeah.
Tell each other our stories.
Yeah.
And we do so.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything to hold back at all.
Nope.
The description of this creature may get less, supernatural in the retelling after we've had a couple hours and maybe a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But describe this box to us.
Well, as soon as you open it, You know, he's got he's one of those metal boxes, you know, used to avoid water inside. You can you can carry supplies and stuff like that.
Oh, like an ammunition box?
Yeah, like an ammunition. You open it, and the first thing you see is a square stone with a strange symbol on it. Yeah, it is dark. The material of the stone is really dark. And, you know, you're all there, you know, opening the box on, I guess, one of the beds. You know, all of you are picking on, you know, you tell me otherwise.
Sure. Oh, I am, definitely.
Yeah.
Everyone okay. Knows. So, Father, maybe you can make an occult roll. Or anyone else who has a pole as well.
I would love to. And that is a normal success.
Very good.
Got a bit. Nothing.
That's a normal success ability as well.
So the square stone is decorated with some like a raised but also worn glyph resembling an eye. That's what you kind of get, you know, by looking at the picture. And the ones that actually pass, like the father, pass the occult role, you know that the symbol is a symbol of protection in the, all cultures. We're pretty sure that maybe the Axum Empire used to you know, to have those kind of symbols to protect from evil.
It's an evil eye.
Who had it?
The Axum Empire. AKSUM Empire. Now there's also an envelope, and it's addressed to Walter Winston. And there's a letter inside the envelope. You know, the envelope is addressed to Walter Winston. On the, and there's a letter inside the envelope. And let me paste it here so you guys can read it.
Northern Ethiopia and Eritrea. Oh, all right, then.
You got the letter? You guys want to read it?
Oh, there it is. W. I've destroyed the notes I took during our investigation after compiling what I saw and what I remember into this notebook. The stone you might recognize. I took it from the barn that night. I think it was Ease. Assume that's Echevario. I know the thing watches me. If it wanted to hurt me, I think it could. I hope you're careful. I put our materials in a safe deposit box in the first bank of Long Beach before coming home. The key is here. Use it wisely. I know you will. Don't come for me. I don't think I have it in me anymore to do the work. I don't trust myself anymore. Thank you for coming this far. D. So that's interesting.
Make an idea, so
Long Beach is where all of this nonsense happened. That's a fail for me on the idea roll.
Yeah,
is there
just
a key
once-
in a notebook?
Just once aware on the at the mansion, sorry.
Okay. Is there a key in a notebook in the box?
Yes.
Okay.
So do
I pass my idea roll.
So Cora, you kind of you have a flashback, you know, while you were there saying goodbye to John and you know, looking at your friends or companions moving towards the car. And when they reach certain distance is when you hear the screaming from Mama Henslow.
Ah. Meaning that the stone was a certain distance from her, perhaps?
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, or that the stone was a certain distance from the house, and therefore whatever it was that was kept from her is now out in the boot.
Right. Yeah, I definitely had that thought. As soon as you said it was a stone of protection that we removed and somebody got killed, I was like, Luckily, I don't believe in things like that, so it doesn't matter.
Very good. The other thing you find is the notebook, and you browse through notes that pretty much, you know, it's kind of a diary, a combination of diary and an artist's sketchbook. I will paste a couple of the drawings you find there, you know, sample of them. Sorry, I put it, you know, I guess it on top of the letter.
Whoa.
Awesome.
Nuts.
Clearly, someone suffering from delusions.
Delusions of Golgorath? Golgoth? What did you say that was again? Some summoned monster? Interesting. Well, it seems like we may want to speak with our pilot and see about going out to Los Angeles. I think we have a good excuse to go there, and I've never been.
Quite right.
Seems like fun. So yeah, these seem to be pictures of some creature, maybe a bunch of flames or people dancing, and the creature is significantly larger than a person.
Giant mouth.
Yeah, tentacles, of course. Was it real? Where is it now?
He called the thing the Fisher?
Fisher. Interesting. Yeah. I feel like that's sort of a Christian thing, but this is certainly no Christian imagery. Fascinating. Setting.
Father.
Yeah.
Make an oral roll.
I know things.
You have seen this kind of artistic manifestations before in some victims of the people that you have dealt with.
Meaning just people drawing things or people drawing these specific things?
No, people just drawing things like this, demonic symbols and creatures and death and so forth.
Yes, well, of course, when one is touched by such things, art is a natural outlet. Perhaps you could use that in your practice, Doctor. Sometimes people find it easier to draw things than to speak about them.
The diary is also kind of going, you know, it doesn't make sense as, you know, as if someone sane was writing a record of things that he lived. Now, clearly this is the output of a very affected mind, and some of the writing don't make any sense at all. The dates jump from past to present to, you know, different years. Going back before 1924 seems to be a retelling of what was happening before that. With the investigation they were going over, and then some notes, maybe Henslow keeping track until he got into, you know, back to the hospital before he buried Hook, on how he tried to contact Winston, that he never heard of the others, anyone else that escaped from the from the fire, from the farm. You know, basically just corroborated what you already know from the interview with him and with Edgar Job.
Should I call Mr. Kearns? Or is he at the hotel with us? Or probably not. No, he was going to stick around at the airport or something.
Knock on the door of that room.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Look through the little peephole.
Nothing.
Huh. Let's hide this material. Let's just put it away so we open the door and nobody can see us with it.
Yes, yes. I don't see anybody out there.
Well, open it.
Who's opening the door?
Mm-hmm. I will open the door suddenly.
Okay. Yeah, there's no one there on the hallway. There's a note sitting there outside of the door.
Pick it up.
It says, drop the case. Go home.
What kind of handwriting is it?
It's not. It seems to be like a machine.
Oh, typed. Okay.
Type a machine. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's mysterious. That's mysterious and bound to be counterproductive if that's their goal.
Did you see anybody in the hallway?
No, I didn't see anybody, and I opened it right after they knocked. There's somebody very quick. And I'll go sort of looking up and down the hallway a little bit and see if I see anything, anybody.
The hallway is not very, very long, very large, and there's several, you know, stairs going up and down on both sides of where your rooms are.
Does it seem physically possible that somebody could have knocked and ran the second time before I opened the door?
It is possible, yes. Maybe if you can even catch up with them or with him.
I don't hear any footsteps or anything, though. I don't hear anyone running, right?
No.
Okay. So I don't even know which way to go. Yeah. And
we had
a quick conversation.
I'm going to run to the window and look out to see if I see anybody fleeing from the hotel.
Make a spot here and roll.
That's a pass.
Okay. You're looking through the window of the hotel. You get the side of the hotel. You know, there's a street there. And there's a car with the lights on, and you see someone rushing under the rain and getting into the car and leaving.
Hmm. What floor are we on?
Around the third floor.
Can you tell if it's a man or a woman, Cora?
Well, from here, it was clearly a man, but it's not like you can make out the features because he was kind of covering his head from the rain as well. Not with an umbrella or anything like that, but, you know, maybe using some newspaper to cover from the rain. Now, he was, Cora, you can tell that he wasn't dressed in a tuxedo or anything like that. Well, it's very casual.
What kind of car was it, Cora?
It's a Ford car.
Ford?
Yeah.
Just a normal, yeah.
Yeah, normal. Normal car.
Did I have, I didn't catch the license plate number, though?
No. No, it is raining. You know. Window is not completely clear or anything like that. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Wonder who could be interested in us.
Now, the timing, of course, right? It's not like there was the knock on the door and you look outside and the car, and you saw that. You know, the timing makes sense, like for someone leaving the hotel, getting into the car after knocking at your door.
Right.
That's what you actually call your attention. When you first were looking at outside the window, you could tell that the car was there just kind of waiting with the lights on.
Yeah. Well, that makes it always more interesting, knowing that somebody is interested in us not finding out what happened.
Well, yeah, so, I agree with what you said of the opposite intended consequence, because this makes me even more interested as to what's going on.
So should we call Mr. Cairns and see if he's arranged, can be ready in the morning to take us west?
Yeah.
I think the sooner we leave town, the better off we are.
Well, it's already dark and it's raining. Yeah. I don't know if we can fly to L.A. tonight.
No, that's fine. But tomorrow morning, yes.
Yeah. So I'll go down to the lobby, I guess, and call Mr. Kearns.
Okay. Yeah, you give me a call and arrange for what time do you want to leave?
As early as he's prepared to leave.
Says around 6:30 a.m. It's good for him.
Excellent. We'll be at the airport at 6:30. We've got our cars here.
Okay. Yeah. You can get ready at the hangar and wait for the sunlight so you can leave. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll let him know. I'll say keep a good eye on your plane. There was somebody's interested in us and not interested in us figuring out what's going on. So make sure you pay attention. If you might talk to the security at the airport there, see if you can give them a little something to keep an extra eye out for you this evening.
Strange. So maybe Janet was actually into something when she hired you. Okay. Thanks for the advice. There's
something going on, yeah.
Well, you might want to call her as well.
Yeah, I'll call her up.
Okay.
Or somebody can. I mean, it doesn't have to be me, but...
Oh, you're down there.
Yeah?
I'm not, so I don't know how you got the idea, but...
I had thought about it. I had thought about it. Maybe on the way down, you said something.
Okay, so yeah, you call Janet as well. Do you want to give her a full recount of what happened, or
no
summary? Or
I think I mostly want to let her know that we are making progress. That we've met with Mrs. Henslow and Douglas Henslow, David Henslow, Douglas Henslow,
Douglas Henslow. And
that we think we have found out what her father was up to in California, and that we have some leads and we're leaving tomorrow morning to check them out. And I will also repeat to her the warning that there seems to be somebody, some thuggish types who are interested in us not pursuing the case and to be safe.
Yes. It's very strange. After such a long time.
It's interesting. I think we're sort of stirring a hornet's nest a little bit here, perhaps.
How did they find out?
It's a good question. I have no idea. Well, I don't know if it was somebody at the asylum or that seems like the most likely. The wasn't really anybody we ran into out at the estate, so unless it's the caretaker, but that doesn't seem very likely. He was pretty, thinking back on the caretaker, can I make a little psychology roll on him? Because he did start off as a total crackpot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can make a psychology roll.
That is a normal success.
When he said that he had worked for the Henslows his whole life, you could tell that he was very loyal.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it must be somebody at the there was somebody at the asylum that seemed to have connection to a criminal gang, so it's possible that somehow that information leaked out. I don't know.
No, you take care of yourself, Mr. Whelan. Very
you
careful.
Too.
Okay, so you're back at the hotel. How many rooms did you rent?
Well, what kind of a... Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what kind of a hotel is it? You know, I mean, it's...
I was going to say, who's paying?
Yeah.
like, you have the money, right? To, you know, pretty much anything you pay, you can pass as expense. So it's up to you guys. And the hotel is it's a decent hotel. It's not a five-stars hotel, but... yeah.
We have to eat to work, so... Every meal's an expense, technically.
Okay.
Well, I think I have my own room.
Okay.
Let's go have a nice dinner.
So I would... let's see here. Yeah, maybe it is six rooms.
Okay, that's fine. So one room for each. That's fine.
Not good.
It's not like you are close friends or anything you want to start sharing so soon. Fair enough, you have some nice dinner where you kind of continue talking about all the happenings of today, and then you go to bed. And can all of you, with the exception of the father, put your headsets down?
Oh, man.
Make sure to put a message in the chat when you're ready for us.
Sure. We'll do. Okay. Father, you suddenly open your eyes and you are at the Joy Grove. Seems to be an exam room. And there's the nurse, Bethany, Miss Hampton, comes towards you, wearing a surgical mask and carrying a syringe. You do recognize her, of course. She's the one that was at the reception of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she approaches you, and you do see that when she gets this syringe close to you, the other end is not a needle, but you see a tiny toothless mouth. Right? She suddenly drops her mask, revealing two mouths. One above the other. Both are smiling with teeth like a shark's. You're suddenly aware that you're in a straitjacket and leg irons, and she comes for you with a hungry syringe. You wake up. There's a mosquito biting on your arm.
Well, that was thoroughly disturbing.
Worth a sanity check.
Possibly. Oh, that's no problem. Not that disturbing. I was praying and saying the appropriate benedictions and prayers for exorcism. So my mind is well defended.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of... You wake up kind of sweating, but you start remembering the prayers start kind of coming out of your mouth immediately. And, you kind of feel a little bit better. And you're listening to the rain on the outside of your room.
is only appropriate.
Oh, we're I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah.
So the morning comes, and I guess you all gather for breakfast.
Probably not. 6:30 We're supposed to be at the airport. Feel like it's coffee and.
And we need to leave a few minutes early, gentlemen and lady. I wish to stop briefly. It will only take a minute at the whatever the appropriate local Catholic church is.
Very well.
Okay.
All right.
So you kind of get ready to leave. You get in the car. Well, two cars. We spoke yesterday. Or, I mean, the previous session. And you start driving away from the hotel, and it is still raining. It is still raining, and it is still dark.
Okay.
And since you're asking, you can make a spot in a roll.
A 10 is a extreme success.
Okay, at this point, I need to know who's. I guess, are you gonna keep the same cars as yesterday, like the ones that went to Hensel Mansion, one car, and the others in the remaining one?
I imagine psychologically likely. Yeah.
Yep. Very good.
No reason not to.
Who's keeping? Who's got the box?
You mean who's about to lose the box?
Right.
Who's safe and who's not safe?
I think Cora has the box.
I'm sure she does.
Okay, Cora.
She's in the car with Sullivan, with me, and I'm driving our car.
And the PI.
Right, yep.
Cora, where do you have the box? Sitting right next to you on the back of the car? Or?
I have the box sitting next to me in the car, but there's a key in the box, right?
Yes.
I have slipped the key at some point into leggings that go up as a means of having them on my person, but not being. I don't trust other. I don't trust any of these people, so I have it secured on my person in my in a way that I suspect only the Dorothy might go looking for it. Or Margaret. Maybe Margaret too. Sorry, I keep forgetting. Margaret's there.
Or Mr. Elliot.
Okay. Very good. So,
I mean, chopped liver.
The doctor, of course, has no compunction.
Of course not.
Sorry.
So, on the way to the airport, you know, pretty much the same way that you came through, and you pass a kind of isolated highway. And as you're driving, you do notice that one, the car, let's see, who's driving? Of course, we have two cars. Who's driving the one in front?
Sullivan, because the other one has to go to the Catholic Church.
Okay. Yeah, so you kind of waited there for the car and then started going out. The two cars are coming together now. You're driving ahead. And you do notice that the car in front of you start having problems, Sullivan, and turns around and kind of goes sideways and stops in the middle of the highway.
I will attempt to drive around it.
Make a drive roll.
Okay. Ooh, that is a success.
Okay, so you're going to continue?
This is a car that's been in front of us for a while.
For some time, yes.
And it, when you say it looks like it had trouble.
Yes, started kind of moving from one side to the other until it kind of
hits the brackets
and then, well, I don't know, can't you tell?
Does it look like the same car I saw last night?
You look at the car, and yeah, it could be maybe you're another 100% sure.
I think I will keep going. I mean, they're not hurt. They're just stopped in the road. I'm not local. We're going to be late for an airplane.
Well, could I, with an intelligence roll, determine if that's intentional, Randall?
Okay, you can make a roll.
Nope.
Okay. So you continue driving. You keep moving, right? Sullivan, very good. Dr. Hutko.
Yes.
You're coming right behind him, and you do see that, and they kind of keep going. What are you planning to do?
Hippocratic. Yeah. Oh, Hippocratic. Oh,
I'm not that kind of doctor. he's not going to ram the other truck. The other car.
It's not like he's going to ram them and do harm.
can you say again, Matt?
I keep following.
Sullivan's very good. Make a drive roll.
You want to give him a bonus die because he's following me?
Not really. You know, actually, it should be a penalty because of the rain and all that. Yeah, you hit the brackets and you kind of hit the car on the back. You know, the highway is so wet, and you were not getting ready for this. You hit the brackets, you kind of slide and hit the car, and three guys come out from the car immediately. And the three of you, Father and Astor, Miss Astor, you kind of see that happening as soon as you hit the car. You're not hurt or anything like that at this point, but yeah, three guys are coming out from the car, and you hear brackets behind you, and there's another car, and stops right behind you, and three more come out from the car.
We'll stop and spin around, or turn the car around, because I'll see this in the rearview mirror that they didn't make it past.
Yes. You don't know what is happening now, but yeah, you see, like, looks like Utko hit the other car.
Yep. Yeah, okay, so turn around, headlights on him.
So, Randall, the car we hit in front of us, doors open, three guys get out?
Yes. And then another car
hits us from behind.
Correct.
And do people get out of that car?
Three more guys.
Well, my goodness, this is a terrible accident.
What are these guys looking like?
It caused quite a delay. Is everyone okay?
When you're saying that, you know, looking backwards towards the father and disaster is coming behind you. The door of your car opens, and you're grabbed by the shirt and pull out from the car.
Wait, Dorothy?
No, Dr. Utko.
No, hang on there a second, fellow. It was an accident.
Take your hands off him.
Release me.
Okay.
I'm sure my insurance will pay for any damage to your car.
you can see that the other three guys also come. Father, open your door, and they're kind of pulling you outside as well. Let's actually go to the dexterity order and let's see how you guys react to this. Sullivan, you're turning the car around. Seems like there's an accident, you know? Three cars, a lot of people outside. Under the rain, you kind of see that the Dr. Utko is being pulled out from the car as well as the father. So let's go with you, Dr. Utko. Make a roll.
What am I?
Win a penalty die.
What am I rolling?
Brawling.
Oh, so assuming I'm trying to resist him.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're not, just let me know.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm pretty wimpy. With a penalty die. So a 20 or a 10. So I guess I get a 20.
Is that a hard success?
Unarmed. What's this base unarmed? 25?
25, so, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a success, regular.
Okay. We're being pulled out from the car, and someone punches you on the face. Father.
Yes.
Two guys. Same thing. Open the door and pull you out from the car. Try to. You can make a brawl, or you just let me know if you're just
really messing up. There is no need for this. No, I fail.
They start kind of mumbling, and you know, one of them punches you on the stomach as well. Make a 1d2 for each one of you guys of damage.
Okay.
And they kind of start saying things like, Sullivan, you're on the back of the car. You're seeing this. Another man opens the door where you are sitting, and
Sullivan's driving the front of the car. So
not Sullivan, sorry. Yep. I meant Astor, Miss Astor.
Okay.
Miss Astor, you see that someone else is coming towards your door, opens the door, and
Do I have a chance to act since I've seen the other ones?
Yes, you get a chance to act.
Okay, great. Normally, if I were making an author character, I don't think I would do this, but because the it is pulp and the Trail of Cthulhu stuff indicated that I have it, I'm going to go for my 22 short in that I carry in my purse. Because nice. A lady can never be too careful on these boat tours.
Nice. Nice.
So the author is going to cut loose with a 41, a normal success at the gallery for.
Sounds like a cap gun.
Yeah.
You're shooting at the guy?
Yeah, I'm shooting at the guy.
Oh, wow.
they are accosting. They're beating the heck out of us.
Roll damage.
Okay. 4.
Yeah, he kind of staggers. Staggers, but and you can tell the other two, you can tell that the guys are wearing kind of fighting with you and pulling you out of the car is kind of jump back, let you go for a moment. And a guy starts coming out from another guy leaves the car, the one that was behind you. Remember that there are like 5 of them already outside. Just one more comes out from the car holding a handgun. Sullivan, under the rain. You start, you know, turning the car around. You approach them, and you see this kind of. Some people have the father; the other two have Dr. Utko, and you hear a shotgun. And
shotgun or a handgun? Sorry,
a handgun.
Oh, I
sorry.
Hear it. Handgun.
You,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, you hear a handgun go off, and
a little bitty pop.
Yeah, it's like you know very well the sound. So, police officer. And
pull out my revolver.
Very good. And let's go by the dexterity order again. From let's take a look at the see who's first. We have it here already.
Yeah, it's not in order, but we have our dexes listed.
Yeah, so okay.
Cora's first at 85.
No, 85. Yes, Cora.
Yeah, well, so are we close enough for us to do anything?
You're just, you know, driving around the two cars. It's still dark because it was too early in the morning when you left for the airport, and still raining. But yeah, you're close enough already. You can stop the car, Sullivan, or close, or what do you want to do? Let's first find out what Suleiman going to do. She's going to keep driving by the cars or something like that. So you can.
So I'm a trained police officer, and I will stop the car in an appropriate way so that I get cover behind the door and jump out and train my revolver on the man with the gun.
Okay, so that happens. Cora,
and I'll shoot him if necessary, but not yet.
With Cora.
Right, so I will also flip open my door, using it as a shield, pull out my .38 revolver, and yell out, "Stand down or we'll take you out right here." And okay. give a little warning shot too to let them remind them that we're here.
A warning shot to the stomach?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
We're in a town where a bunch of northerners running around. I'm kind of guessing exactly. It's not the best idea to kill a bunch of people.
Okay. Right. You do see that the everyone starts rushing towards the cars and start yelling in a language you don't understand. What languages do you guys speak, you know, now that we have people together here?
Just French English. And Spanish,
Latin and Aramaic.
French,
German,
Spanish. Latin.
English?
Okay. Not a language that any of you have heard before or can make sense of.
So are they pulling the two people with them, or are they running away, you know, without the two?
No, after Cora made the shot, you know, to the air, they kind of started rushing towards the car and apparently are yelling something at you. And
probably get the shotguns. I will yell, "Stop moving, freeze, police."
They don't do anything. They just keep going towards cars. And
I'd like to shoot a tire.
Yeah. Let's go with the next.
Thank you. So that's you at 80.
80. Yes. Very nice. Why do I have 80? let's go with 65, which is Sullivan. So
who won? Right?
Edwin. Edwin is trying to shoot one of the tires.
Yeah, I'll shoot one of the front tires of the front car.
Go ahead. Make a shot.
I feel like, yeah, that seems fine. I miss.
Okay. The guys get into the car, and the car starts moving, you know, towards Savannah, back to where you were coming from. Okay. See that the other two guys get into the other car, leaving the father and Utko on the ground. Unless you guys want to do something.
Yeah. I'm next up in the deck, right?
So yes.
I'm gonna try and shoot the back tire.
Okay, go ahead.
That is a success.
Goes off. Yeah, you hit the tire, and you can see that the driver is kind of trying to, you know, get the car under control and keeps moving with the tire.
Well, okay, so Randall, I'm sorry. Can I try and shoot both back tires and do a multiple shot attack?
Do you have that skill?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just an option. I just take penalty dice.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you can. Sure.
So then second one with a penalty die. Is a fail, and then a third shot. I'll burn 12 luck and make that a success. So that's nice. Both back tires.
Okay. All right. So the car kind of stops, and your two guys are getting into the car. So let's go to that was Alfred. Let's go to Astor. I don't see Utko. Oh, funny thing. I don't see Utko or the priest. Oh, yeah, here's 60. So it looks like he's the father. The father's next. What are you doing, father?
So they're leaving?
Yes, they're leaving.
Then I get back in the car.
Okay. what about you, Dorothy?
So yeah, she just shot somebody. Is he like what did he do? Did he
was that the first time Dorothy's ever shot someone?
I think it might be, yeah. She's not exactly given to this action and adventure stuff normally. But yeah, so is he like trying to climb all over me, or is he beating feet and he disappeared?
No, as soon as you Channing and Cora and Sulu turned the car around, and Elliot started shooting as well. You can see that they're retreating. That's what he looks like.
Okay, yeah, she's just kind of breathing heavy and looking out of the car, and you know, kind of staying inside to take advantage of the cover. And if there's more action, she'll pop out.
Sounds good. One of the cars leaves with three of the thugs, and the car that you shot, Elliot. You see two guys coming out of that car and shoot back at you. But on their next round, you see is actually the car stops because you shot at the tires. And the two guys come out from both sides of the car, wielding handguns.
Okay.
So let's go back to the top. Let's go back to Cora.
Hey, Randall. Yes. Randall, I think you've skipped me a couple times.
I skipped you. Yes, go ahead. You're next. Sorry.
So I just got punched.
Yes.
The people ran back to the car behind us or in front of us?
Both.
Both?
The ones that were hitting you went to the one in front of you.
Oh, that's funny. Randall, right. I reordered the note, the names in session 4 in dex order.
Okay.
Roll down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he punched me and then he ran away before I could do anything?
No, well, you know, he punched you. There were two of them. They punched you. And then the shooting started. Like, Sullivan, you know, made a shot. And then the other car stopped, and these guys started shooting as well. And, yes, and I skipped that round. Do you want to do anything before they get into the car? Just go back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my doctor's bag is probably out of reach, so I'll just dive into the car and reach into my bag and try to grab my syringe.
Okay.
But
very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Then as you're looking for the syringe, you see that two guys get into the car. They start leaving, but they are shot by Elliot. Where you don't know who, but the car stops and two guys are coming out from the car that was shot, and the other car is leaving. You know, it hasn't stopped, just keeps going. Two guys are coming out with handguns, and now let's go back to the next order. So Cora, yeah, you see the guy stop and two guys coming out from the car.
Yeah, well, looks like they're serious, so I'm gonna take a shot at one.
Okay.
Nope. It's been a while since I shot, apparently.
Okay.
Another wild warning shot.
So next is Sullivan.
How far away are they roughly? I don't remember what.
Maybe 20 meters away.
Okay, cool. So I'm behind the door, so I will shoot three times at one of them.
Okay.
So that is one success and a failure. And
and another failure. So on the success, first one, 5 points of damage. So I hit him once and probably jumps to the side after that.
Okay.
And then I will stay, you know, I'm crouched down, so I'm just in the crook of the door or whatever's appropriate cover.
Very good. So, Father and Elliot,
get down, everyone.
Do you act at the same time that the other two guys in the car, you know, the dogs? So let me know what you want to do. Let's see how it rolls.
Popping three shots at someone, or two shots if they die, and then one shot at another person. I'm shooting three times.
Go ahead.
91 on the first one is a fail. Second one is a success. And third one, I'll burn one luck to make that a success. So that's two shots.
Total damage?
Total damage is 9 plus 7, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 damage.
Oh yeah, you kill the same guy that Sullivan was shooting, fails, then you turn to the other guy and kill him. He falls to the ground. And Father, what are you doing? This is all happening at the same time. You're in the middle of a crossfire.
Well, I had gotten back in the car, so I'm just keeping my head down in the car and questioning why we didn't just drive away when we had the chance. So I am now convinced that at least certain members of our group are just violent, murdering bastards.
Yes, like always, Jim.
I was wondering that too, but it was before we turned around and came back to help you. As I was wondering why we didn't just keep going.
Okay.
And so I will just keep my head down.
So the other guy misses the shot and starts running away. So let's go. Still missing Dorothy and Dr. Utko. Dorothy first. What are you doing? The guy starts running.
That's okay. Dorothy's not, she's not bloodthirsty. If she's getting out of here, she doesn't want to have to shoot anybody again. Once was enough. So she'll just say, it's okay, Father. It's okay.
You can leave and, the bloodthirsty to Mr. Elliot.
Yes.
And let's see, Dr. Utko, you get the syringe.
Yeah, and I kind of peek up over the seat to see if there's any threat.
Not likely, no. The only guy that was there is now running away.
So was it true that they went from three in each car to four in the getaway car and two in the car that stayed here? Okay.
Yes. Yes, the guy that was shot, he rushed into the car that was on the back. The guy that was shot by Aster.
Aster, yep.
Yes. So let's go back to the top. What are you doing, Cora? Guy running away?
I see no reason to not just let him run away.
Sullivan?
I will yell for him to stop. Police, stop. Drop to the ground.
Keeps running.
I'm not going to. Okay.
Could just get in the car and chase him down.
Yeah, but that's next round.
Elliot?
Well, since the cop asked him to stop and he didn't stop and she didn't shoot him, I am not going to shoot him.
Okay.
What?
Actually, I'm reloading.
That is not how.
I took six shots total out of my revolver, so I have to reload.
That's why you're not shooting.
Yeah, that's the real reason.
Okay. So, Father,
Elliot's not stupid. I may be stupid. But Elliot's not stupid.
He doesn't shoot an empty gun.
So, Father, Doctor, Astor, what are you guys doing?
No, I got nothing in particular.
Yeah, I'm just staying in the car. Can't believe
shatter.
There's gunfire. I can't believe it. What have we gotten ourselves into?
Are you all right? Are you all right? Yes, did they hurt you too badly?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Let's go back to the very beginning. Cora.
We're out of combat, though, right?
Yes.
So I think we just... Somebody should see to the doctor and the priest. Oh, this is horrible.
I want to search the car and the dead guy.
Oh, did we get the license plate of the car that was driving away by any chance?
Oh, not you, for sure. I don't know about the others. They need to make, I guess...
I've got kind of a special thing, keen vision.
Nice.
Is, yeah, bonus die on spot hit rolls is what it says, so that may not apply, but...
If you were outside of the car when they were running away, but you were inside the car...
Okay.
That's what you told me, right? That you were staying inside the car?
Yeah, she was...
The father?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was anxious to mix it up.
All right. The seems like your guy kind of runs into the night and you don't see him anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you're searching the car, right, Detective?
Yeah, I want to search the car and the dead guy, yeah.
I'm going to get my handkerchief out and blot up any blood off of my person. Basically do a first aid roll.
We don't have much time to get to the airport.
Well, he won't leave without us, of course.
Failed my first aid.
Okay. Let's see. What you guys don't find anything in the car.
Like registration, license plate. I mean, ownership is the most important part.
Yeah, it seems to be a rental.
Okay. Well, that's still information that's useful.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, you don't find anything else.
And the guy also has nothing on him? The
Nothing on him. No papers or anything like that. You search the body and make a spot in a roll.
Yeah. Tattoos or, I don't know, jewelry. No. Actually, I'm going to make that a yes because we're pulping it up.
Okay.
So, yes.
Oh, very good.
I spent my point of get the clue at the crime scene.
Okay. Yeah, he's got some tattoos on the right-hand side of his neck. Let's see. You do not have any. Yeah, they look oriental for you.
Does the person look oriental or just the tattoo?
He does look oriental as well.
Okay. Any of you recognize this? I'll draw it. Draw the tattoo down, or if we have we probably don't have a camera, but so I'll draw it down. And ask if anyone recognizes it.
Cult rolls or
not a cult. It's more like if someone has any sort of oriental language, maybe, but you don't, right?
Right.
Let's see. I'll give you a hard no roll. Any of you?
Fail.
That's a pass.
15 extreme idea roll.
Oh, Cora. Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. She might know gang symbols.
Yeah.
My God, this is my boyfriend.
In another state. How'd that happen?
Father and Cora,
go ahead. Well, sorry, Randall. I was muted, but because it's loud. But I got an 07 on my idea.
Ooh. Okay. The guys that pass, especially Cora, you do recognize it as a Thai tattoo. Definitely, that's Thai.
Interesting. So we've got ourselves a Thai gang operating in the deep south.
Now, shouldn't we get out of here? How are we going to explain this?
Father, now that you passed the role, now that you're seeing the tattoo and all that, you do not recognize the two guys that pulled you out of the car. They were not. One of them was white, and the other one was more like Latino. Now, all of them were speaking the same language, and it was not Spanish. It was not English, French, or anything like that.
It was Esperanto.
Probably Esperanto.
Oh, I can't just leave a body on the side of the road. How far out of town are we? We're out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes, and it's still raining.
So
let's just push
the
car off the side and let's go.
Yeah, put the body in there and go to the next gas station or someplace where we can make a phone call.
I will raise an eyebrow at the supposed Detective Sullivan's clear intent to cover up a crime scene.
Did I not just say we're going to go call a go make a phone call? I don't want to leave the body out in the rain.
or the car blocking the traffic.
And the car in the middle of the road. Yeah, I mean
Hafner's plan is very good.
You can raise your eyebrow. That's fine.
I mean, clearly, Mr. Elliot has just committed murder here, but...
Oh, no, I was clear self-defense. We were being attacked. That was pretty obvious to me. They were running towards us with guns.
After they had tried to leave and Mr. Elliot shot at them. I don't believe that is any longer considered self-defense, but...
Well, they did attack us. There's no doubt about that.
Oh yes, and
we ambush,
and we drove them off, and then
Mr.
Elliot felt the need to.
Well, that is for the courts to decide, and the police, of course.
So I'm gonna
precisely.
I'm gonna
we need to. So, as a good police detective, do you not need to have a discussion about this with your?
Yes. Is that not what I just said? We're going to go find a telephone and call them in? I don't know what your problem is, Father.
Okay, I misunderstood your intent. I apologize, ma'am.
While he's doing, I'm going to lead in to Ms. Sullivan,
mm-hmm.
and point out that if you look at the pictures of people who are playing, I'm not entirely sure that Mr. Elliot can get a fair trial or a speedy trial in this part of the country.
Yes, it might not be the best plan.
We might be here for much longer. I think that if you want to stay here and deal with this, I suppose that's your right, but I think those who want to leave should be allowed to leave.
Well, I think we should go to the phone, call it in, and then come back when necessary.
Oh, so you're not saying wait for the police, then? You're saying anonymous.
No, why would we wait for the police in the middle of the highway? They're never going to come. We have to call them.
No. Sorry. No. After the call is made, you're
being... Oh, yeah, No. Yeah, that's fine. They can find it.
Okay.
I believe Ms. King is advocating an anonymous tip, perhaps.
May be, but I'll call them in and use my name. I have nothing to hide.
Okay, well, you do that, and why don't we get... The rest of us can get moving towards the airport and get ready to move.
Well, we have to all move. Yes, I understand. We don't have a phone here in the road. They haven't.
Yes. Right, so. Quite right.
Well, I'm sure they have one at the airport, and there's the mile marker 76 right there.
Yeah, so wherever the next phone is, I will I'll pull off, and that may be the airport. Or it may not.
So you guys do that. Yeah, you get to the airport to make a call. You speak with the chief. You spoke to him before?
Whom I met yesterday. Yeah. I will call him up. Yeah.
He's asking if you're going to stay for, you know, to write a full report.
I will send him a report from the LA police office as soon as I get there. Where we have an important lead in the case we're working on, but I will absolutely get you a report as quickly as I can, and I'll describe what I can of the car, the missing car, obviously, and I'll tell them the license plate in case that the non-missing car goes missing before they get out there, and say that we have to go.
Okay. All right, guys. You head, you go to the airport where Mr. Kearns looks kind of worried when he sees you coming all wet and in a hurry.
And I'll reload.
Are you all right? I was kind of starting to worry about you.
Yeah.
You're 1 hour late.
We were waylaid by some thugs on the road.
Let's get out of here then. Where do you guys want to go?
LA.
Long Beach.
Long Beach. All right.
Where have you been?
Okay. Let's go to Long Beach. You guys get into the plane.
Mr. Kearns, is it?
Yes.
Did you check the plane this morning, as we mentioned?
Yes, I've been standing right next to it the whole morning. But if you want to check again, I don't mind.
I'm not a mechanic. I have no idea.
I mean, if you want me to check again.
I hate to have you out in the rain, but I think it might be a good idea based on the experience of the last hour.
He then gets out of the plane, starts searching with a flashlight on the rain, you know. And looks like we're good. Looks like we're good, Doctor. And you guys worry. Looks like the dogs were left behind you. Let's get out of here. And the plane under the rain now leaves Savannah behind. You are heading towards LA.
All right.
So, Randall, during the flight, I want to spend some time skimming through this book that we picked up at the bookstore. The glimpse of, is it Glimpse of Insanity?
Glimpse of Madness.
Glimpse of Madness.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. You can read it. You know, you enjoy it because that's actually your thing. But scenario wise, it doesn't bring up any clues or any other correlation to any of their character or anything like that.
Okay. Speaking of books, Miss Astor, I bought your book when we were in town the other day. I was wondering if you could sign it for me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I read it all last night. It's quite the page turner.
Quite thrilling, really, isn't it? Thank you so much. So lovely.
Oh, yes, very much.
Yes. To my dear friend, Cora.
Max, you were asking, do you speak Spanish? Max,
muted.
Okay.
There's a few other Spanish speakers.
I am muted, but the iPhone that I have is just super old and slow, so it takes me like 20, 30 seconds to get it unmuted. No, I don't speak Spanish. Just English. But right. maybe from my time in the war, I may have heard some things, know some things.
Not yeah, you know, Max is asking for the language. If it sounds, you know, more like from the Philippines, but no, it doesn't. You know, doesn't strike like anything that you have heard before. Actually, they were when they were yelling back at you guys, they were hissing, more like yelling. You know, in a more guttural language or anything like that, or, you know, related to Latin in any way or anything like that. So it's hard to tell. Hard to tell. Never heard that before. What you did notice is that there was a lot of hissing when they were communicating. Oh, you know what? Actually, both Cora and Sullivan, you can make an idea roll.
Thieves can't. I knew it.
01.
Nice. I won't mention my success then.
You know what, Cora? It sounded very much like the mouth in the wardrobe.
Oh, what?
Like the what and the who?
The mouse
in the wardrobe.
The wardrobe.
Mouth. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
And we can leave it there for tonight.
Yeah, we can.
Wow.
Cool. All right.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Very nice. Very nice, Randall.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying having fun. I really like this campaign. Yeah.
You ran this once before, right?
Yes.
For your local friends?
Yes. Getting the playtest. So now that I'm going over the actual final version, it's very similar to the playtest, but of course it's more complete and has more details and it's nicer. Yeah, cool. I'm having a lot of fun as a keeper as well. This is very good. Cool. I love it.
Good. Well, see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
We'll make you regret running it.
Thanks, Randall.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, pleasure. Bye. Have a good night.
Take care.
Thank you.
Later.
Bye.
Cheers, buddy.